The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hi, everybody. Wait, let me get up a minute. One second. Yeah, like, I listen to Nicole Sandler.
All right, come on.
Is it time for the Nicole Sandler show?
We're late, come on.
Oh, I forgot to turn the computer on.
Oh, man.
Let me just walk over here and
boot
up my computer.
Boot it up.
Oh, crap. Never mind. It's okay. I got another one. leave it there. The cat will get it.
Yeah.
Got a little tune here.
All right. Can we get
a little song to sing for you?
Yeah.
That Nicole, she does something. She's really there.
Yeah.
And does things. Nicole Sandler Show, whatever it is.
Whatever it is. You know, this is the final week of the year for us. I am actually taking a vacation. Not going anywhere. I'll be here packing. But, you know, it's hard for me to get shit done during the week because I'm busy working. So I've decided I'm taking next week off. And, you know, it'll serve us all, I promise you. But we are here this week in whatever diminished capacity we are. A lot of stuff still going on. As you know, yesterday, the final meeting of the January 6th, the House Select Committee investigating the events around January 6th. And, I forgot that we have a guest coming up in just a moment. I will introduce him momentarily, but I just realized that I need to put up an image here because Drift Glass is one of the OG bloggers. He was one of the original progressive bloggers when the blogosphere first exploded. You know, it was Drift Glass and it was Digby and it was a few others who are still around, but those are my two old-time favorites. And I forgot, Drift Glass does not put his face on camera. So I need to put up a graphic. And I'll do that in a moment. But you know what? Let's just bring him on and get started with the Drift Glass name showing up on the video screen. Drift Glass, are you there?
Nicole, I am here.
Yay! I love hearing that voice, that disembodied voice coming through the headphones, as in my case.
Straight from the middle America. Middle of the cornfields.
Right in the heart of darkness. It's the heart that I'm quoting Counting Crows, so you know there's something wrong with me right now. That's Omaha though, not where you are in Illinois.
No, but we're in Trump country. I'm in Trump country right now. Absolutely.
And it's still Trump country, yes?
Oh, yeah. I live in Springfield, Illinois, 2 miles from Lincoln's grave, which is in Sangamon County. And the Sangamon County Republican Party every year has someone come in to spin up the locals, you know, to give them the rah-rah cheer. And they don't bring in, you know, George Will. They brought in Charlie Kirk this time.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And people like him every year. So these people are deeply warped and deeply committed to horrible things. And, you know, I report from the heart. That's how I know what they're thinking, because they live next door to me and they're on the radio all the time.
Oh, my God. Well, they are on the radio all the time. In fact, you know, I had a good conversation the other day with an old friendly acquaintance, a guy named Rob Barnett, he's a radio lifer, like, you know, like I am. But he worked at MTV and VH1. I mean, he's a big shot. And we were talking about, you know, the how everything has changed and how the airwaves have been relegated to the right wingers. It's very odd when you actually hear a progressive voice over the so-called public airwaves. It doesn't happen anymore.
It's a rare thing. Well, I go back, and I'm sure you do too, to the days before blogging. I mean, I remember in Chicago on whatever the hell the station was, it's still up and running, but they syndicate, you know, Mark Levin.
Go ahead. Yeah. Mark Levin.
And Joe Walsh, back when Joe Walsh was right. Joe Walsh. And their tagline was, liberals hate us. That was their business model.
Yeah.
I remember Rush Rooms. I don't know if you remember that. Rush Rooms were where young yuppies would get together at a restaurant, smoke cigars, and listen to Rush Limbaugh over lunch hour.
Oh, God. No, I don't, because I did not participate in that kind of stuff. And what's interesting is, you know, I when I was just a baby in the industry, right out of college, and I moved to New York, and my first job was as a weekend producer at WMCA. And at that time, it was a talk station. That meant they had everything. In the morning, there was like a news. It was just straight news. That was followed by the radio psychologist that people would call in with their problems, followed by the financial guy, followed by Barry Gray, who was the liberal on the staff. And then there was somebody else. And then Bob Grant, the crazy right-wing nut. They were all on the same station. They had Barry Farber. They had Sally Jesse Raphael. I mean, a bunch of different personalities and, more importantly, different viewpoints on the same radio station. Can you imagine?
Ooh, that's crazy. That's just crazy.
That's how it all used to be.
It did. It really did. And it was kind of fun. Because you could hear all kinds of things, like kaleidoscopically listening to the same station. But man, once Reagan took the Fairness Doctrine down to the basement and put a bullet in its head, things changed real fast. Rush Limbaugh was, do you remember which two federal judges sided with Reagan to finally kill off the Fairness Doctrine? Pop quiz, Hutch.
I do not. That was before my time.
It was a guy named Robert Bork.
Oh, God.
And a guy named Antonin Scalia.
Oh, God. Yeah. Ah!
They were the two federal judges who held the Fairness Doctrine down while Reagan killed it. And couple months later, Rush Limbaugh is syndicated across the country. And everything started going downhill real fast.
The ghosts of media malpractice passed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And you know the story behind how Fox News got on your basic cable.
Do tell.
It was my rough sketch of this is because Ailes had tried to get GOP TV on the air for years.
Right.
He tried it with Nixon.
Yep.
He got like old crazy fascist Joe Coors, of Coors Beer, to fund something like that. And that never worked. And he finally got a cable deal. But to be profitable, had to be in the basic cable package in New York. And there was no room for it in New York until a guy named Rudy Giuliani made an executive decision to recast it as like an education station so it could be slotted into the basic cable package. And shortly thereafter, it became incredibly prosperous, showed up everywhere. And again, downhill ever since.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's astounding. You know, I remember Rudy Giuliani from when I produced Bob Grant. I was all of 22, 23 years old. And Rudy Giuliani was the young estate's attorney, I believe.
Yeah, prosecutor, in Manhattan. Yeah.
Right. He was the young, hot prosecutor. He was going to, change the world. And he was kind of a jerk then, but boy, nothing like what he's become. Oh, my God. So they're about to strip his license to practice law in Washington, D.C.
Yes, they are. And that's just a real shame. But, that's you lay down with dogs, Rudy.
That's
and
right.
You've rolled in a lot of dog patches, Rudy. There's a lot of fleas on you. Bye-bye, Rudy.
That's
bye-bye
true.
Now.
And even one of those little combs isn't going to work. Hey, Driftglass, you know what? I just jump into it with you because I just take it for granted that everybody knows who you are. But I look in the chat room and Honey Bunny for you says, Driftglass is a podcast?
Oh, yeah.
Driftglass, is a person. It's him. We don't know his real name. He's just Driftglass. But he co-hosts the Professional Left podcast with his wife, the lovely blue gal Fran, at proleftpod.com.
Yes, indeed.
Where you can get it. So, and it's a weekly or twice a week you do it, right?
Well, yeah, we've been doing this now. Come in January, it'll be 12 years.
Wow.
Or 13 years.
Wow.
We're up to 670, 80 episodes. Uh-huh. So. We do Professional Left podcast every Thursday. We're running through getting our legs under us doing a subversion of that called No Fair Remembering Stuff, which is because as OG bloggers, we have these huge archives of what we've written over decades.
Right.
And all kinds of things that people don't remember and really, really should.
Yes.
Because they've been shoved down the memory hole. So I did my wife indulged me. I did a 6-part thing on David Brooks.
Oh, God.
Who's a jerk and who's, you know, weedy. But if you take 20 years of his columns and his influence on the media and influence on politics and use it like a flip book, go through real fast, like, oh, my God, this guy's a monster. He's an absolute monster. He's a horrible person who has terrible opinions, says the worst things, and nobody ever calls him on it because he's so, you know, humble and affable. So we're doing stuff like that because the motto of the Professional Love Podcast is no fair remembering stuff, and both sides don't. So we'll do Joe Scarborough.
Uh-huh.
We're going to do just stuff that people really don't remember because the media has wiped it
right
off the slate.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been doing, and I don't know because radio and podcasting is the same way. You're talking into the ether. You don't get the immediate audience reaction as if you were doing a live stage show or something like that. So sometimes it's crickets. You don't know if anyone's hearing it, if they're liking it. I love getting feedback. Nicole at NicoleSandler.com. Even if you want to tell me that show really was not up to your usual standards, that's fine. Tell me what you like and what you don't like. So, but what I've been doing occasionally, like if I need to take a day off, rather than what seems to be the trend in these circles is if you're off for a day, you play a show from like the last couple of weeks. Yeah. Well, what I do, because I've got like 15 years archives is go back to like this week, 10 years ago, 12 years ago, 15 years ago, and see what we were talking about. See, I find that fascinating, but most people, they don't, if it's an old show, they don't want to hear it. It's like, oh, you're not there. Okay. Goodbye. But I can pull some stuff out of the archives that is wild. Mm-hmm. And so I do that from time to time. I just don't know if anybody appreciates it because it does take some work. But I love doing that because I think it's important to see where were we 10 years ago right now. And, I'd rather listen to that than a show from 2 weeks ago that we just heard.
Well, and it's important to contextualize. What one of my sayings is memory is the liberal superpower. The only thing we have going for us is that we do not forget that Joe Scarborough came into Congress with Newt Gingrich, that Joe Scarborough was a big lover of Donald Trump, a big fluffer of his. Right up until, Trump outed his girlfriend.
Yep.
And suddenly Joe Scarborough never heard of the guy.
Right.
Which is hilarious. But when you control the camera, you get to get away with that. Keep repeating, I've always been against him. I don't know. I've been critic forever. Like, dude, there's video, there's audio, there's pictures of you at Mar-a-Lago with your girlfriend, now wife, with Donald Trump.
Yep.
And it's just
they
like,
were at his wedding. It's like, come on, man. Come on, man.
Yeah. Well, and one of my favorites, I don't pick on him too much anymore, is Matthew Dowd.
Well, he's had a come to Jesus moment.
if you go through his career like a flip book, he's had a lot of come to Jesus moments.
Yeah.
He has suddenly realized the error of his ways about 5 times as an adult. And each time it happened to be to catch the prevailing wind of whatever was blowing in whichever direction. And I don't begrudge someone, at the late age, he's learning something new about the world.
Yep.
What I do begrudge him is wiping his Twitter archive, wiping all of his previous comments and pretending he never said what he said or did with me when he was the ABC news director. And I'm sorry, ABC chief political analyst. Uh-huh. And that bothers me because it means you're lying and you have consciousness of guilt, which sort of feeds us into the J6 hearing. Because speaking of consciousness of guilt, oh my God, Hope Hicks arrived late on the stage with a bow and a ribbon to tie it all up and say, no, this was a plan, man.
Right.
Wasn't
that a surprise? Isn't it interesting, too, that she sounds exactly like I thought she would sound?
Yeah.
Kind of like Ivanka. She's got the breathy upper, needs to lower her thing from up here in her nose to down to, into her chest. But she's got, and she talks like Ivanka and she is the up talk. But she basically said, everyone was telling him to do something and he didn't want to know anything.
For days, not for 20 minutes or an hour, for days, people were saying, you really got to, you know, you really should. And of course she sounds that way because she's out of central casting, because he cast all of his people for their looks and their voice and certainly not their band, whether they sucked up to him. And that's, you know, that's how he ran the country for 4 years.
You got it. It's astounding. So I don't know about you. I wish that yesterday's meeting would have gone on a little longer. I thought it was kind of abridged. And the thing is, what they didn't tell us was that once they adjourned the meeting, they were going to release the executive summary.
Yes.
And the executive summary is like 150 pages long, and there's a lot of stuff there.
Yeah. Well, that's you know, I kind of get that you have the trailer and the movie.
Right.
And yesterday was the trailer. It was, this is, because it was 80% of it, 90% of it was everything this happened before. We're summarizing. Here's what we did. Here's what we said. Everybody gets a chance to speak. We all stand up and make our little noble speeches, none of which I disagree with. It's just that some cases I have an arched eyebrow when it comes to Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger, about whom I have a lot to say.
Yes, I saw that on your blog. We'll talk about him in a moment. Yeah.
But I thought it was an effective, compressed summary of a thing that is impossible to compress and summarize.
Right.
And then here's, by the way, all you reporters and book writers and diggers of dirt, here's the executive summary. Go to town.
Yeah.
Dig out the details. Go forth social media and do your thing. And so, okay. All right. I get it.
Exactly. There's stuff there. And then tomorrow, we get the whole shebang. We get, allegedly, the entire report, which is, I don't even know how long, but it's a lot longer than 150 pages. And there's a lot of there. Now, just because we had to see my husband, David, recorded the shows in the Fox primetime lineup last night, so we could tune them in to see what they said. So first we tune into the fucker Tarleton, and he didn't even mention it. His first story was the big crisis down at the border, because he speaks up here through his nose. And oh my God, he did not even mention the January 6th committee. Then Sean Hannity, of course, is on vacation, so some other guy, Hegseth or something, filled in for him, and he was hysterical. He was really funny, unintentionally funny, but really funny, because he's like, "Oh, there was this dog and pony show, and they did, and it was ridiculous, and da da da," and but, you know, enough of that. Let's go to the real crisis down on the border.
Sure. That's where. Look over here. Don't look over there. Look over here.
That's the real crisis. Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. I'm just.
Well, and we do the same thing in real time. I mean, we had plumbing problems yesterday, so I had to take breaks from the hearing to deal with the plumber, who's a very nice guy, got everything fixed.
Yeah.
And then we had to have another thing, and kids coming and going on vacation. So it was a little bit hectic. But we do the what I call the steeple chase. We go, okay, here's what's on MSNBC. That's great. What's going on at CNN? It's always a little more dark and depressing. Like, there's always some clown on there. But yeah, but remember, Democrats are bad too.
Of course. Right. That's their news.
And over to Fox. And then we jump all the way down the dial to Newsmax to see, you know, wall to wall Mike Lindell commercials and a lot of hysterics. And who was it? It was Glenn Greenwald looking ashen face next to some lunatic.
Seriously? Oh my God.
And it's like, yeah. So there is a spectrum. The only thing lacking in that spectrum of opinion is liberal stuff.
Right.
You know, is all the people who were actually right about stuff all along and actually warned and actually talked, those people are nowhere represented in the spectrum. So it's interesting to see.
Right.
But it's and then we go to we went to network news, which is, you know, 100 times bigger. And they were covering it
right
during the day. They were interrupting General Hospital to talk about, you know, the J6. I know.
Damn.
I know.
It's a good. See, I watch the General Hospital, but I watch it on Hulu. They put it up at like 8 o'clock at night with no commercials. So that's where I watch it. But, you know, I do watch General Hospital, as I have for many, many years. Now, here's the sad thing, is I was actually more of a One Life to Live person. They canceled it. And so, you know, I went back to General Hospital, which I've watched on and off through the years. But General Hospital was always a little stupider than One Life to Live.
Well, we all have our, you know, our pleasure habits. I am a big fan of old episodes, black and white episodes of Gunsmoke.
Oh, really?
I think it's incredibly well written, morally complex.
Uh-huh.
And funny and thought-provoking sometimes, you know, an episode about Alzheimer's before there was such thing as Alzheimer's. An old man forgets that his wife had died and and people show up in town with her clothes on and assume they murdered her. And we have to walk around behind and remind this old man that his wife had died. His beautiful wife had died, you know, and it's just stuff like that. Like, that's really good. 30 minutes of television in this from 1960 with that level of moral complexity and heartfelt acting, man. It's
so Gunsmoke, not Bonanza.
No, okay. Although my wife and I are enjoying on Crackle, Danger Man.
Oh,
which is Patrick McGoohan's spy series before The Prisoner.
Uh huh.
And it's really good. It's really.
I believe you.
And he goes around the world fixing problems.
Well, yeah. I introduced my daughter to an old show. And it took me forever to find it, but I finally found it. But I had to show it to her because she didn't believe me that there was a show called The Flying Nun.
Oh, yes.
And The Flying Nun was Sally Field, for God's sake.
That's right.
Not only that, but the reason I told her about The Flying Nun is because my dog Jackson has the weirdest ears you've ever seen on a dog. And the only way I can describe them is it's the hat that the Flying Nun wore that looked like wings. Right. Jackson's got Flying Nun hat ears. Sister Betrell. And so I had to explain to my 23-year-old daughter, and she's like, come on, Mom. Flying Nun? And finally I found the intro on it. And do you see her flying over the convent, I guess? And she's like, wow. she thought I was making it up.
Oh, I had a staff at Columbia College that worked for me when I worked there, and they were all tech people, and they're all lovely people, but they were like a decade younger than me. And we were comparing notes about television shows. I said, anybody here ever see Lidsville?
Lidsville, no.
Lidsville, which Charles Nelson Reilly, and it was an H.R. Puffin Stuff spinoff. Ah. It was Sid and Marty Croft.
I remember H.R. Puffin Stuff.
A lot of shows.
Yes.
But it was a story about a kid who falls into a giant hat and ends up in a kingdom full of people who look like hats. That's the story. And nobody on my staff would believe me. This is pre-YouTube. I couldn't look it up.
Right.
I said, I swear to you, this is not an acid flashback. There was a show with Charles Nelson Reilly called Lidsville. And they're like, dude, you're out of your mind. There's no such thing. That never happened. And then YouTube came along. And I could revisit it and say, see, I may be crazy in a lot of different ways, but I know my cartoons from the 70s.
Right.
And that's one of them.
You know, there were some really, look, if you could get into, and now a lot of these shows are available now, as you mentioned, YouTube and Crackle and some of those other things. One morning, you know, I don't sleep well at night. And so I'm up at ridiculous hours and I flip around and I came across a stream of old Flip Wilson shows.
Oh, yeah.
And it was just golden. It was so perfect. It's like, oh my God, this is brilliant.
He was hilarious.
He was
absolutely hilarious.
Amazing. Yeah. But then there were shows like, see if you remember this one. Do you remember Cop Rock?
Yes, I do.
Okay. So
yes, I do. It was a musical cop show that lasted half a season.
It did. And, you know, it was Stephen Bochco who did like great shows. And it was a musical cop show. And so people would get arrested and they'd all of a sudden break into song. you know, it's amazing some of the stuff that got green lighted. And you would think we'd get a lot more of that now because there's so many different avenues where shows can be produced, like, but Hulu and Netflix and everything else out there, they're probably still making those. We just don't see them.
Yeah. Every now and then one pops to the surface and someone recommends to someone. And my wife and I have a whole list of those, as our friends do, of, you know, you should see The English and Kindred is on Hulu and on and on and on, and The Bear, and shows that were just completely unexpected.
Right.
Like, there's no way I could have seen this coming. This is a little show about a Chicago beef diner.
Right.
Which is, I knew intimately because it's basically Mr. Beef. It is Mr. Beef in Chicago. And it's the best damn thing on television. I'm like, you know what?
Okay. I watched that show. It was the guy, Lip, from Shameless, who was the main character. Yeah. I just actually watched the rest of that the other day.
And you know, a lot of the world sucks and a lot of it's hard and a lot of it requires a lot of patience with our fellow human beings.
Yep.
And a lot of blood pressure medicine occasionally. But there are beautiful things being made by creative people all around us. And to appreciate them is part of the great part of being a human being. You can see, good God, this person had a vision and they realized it and it's beautiful. And they gave it to me. Station 11 blew me away.
Okay.
A wonderful story. And let's just hang up now. Go watch Station 11.
I still have a half hour left, but let me share something with you because, you know, with those creative kind of shows, I did a thing last week and I pulled something out from the archives from when Cop Rock was on the air. I used to work on a big morning show in Los Angeles, but because you remember Cop Rock, I thought you might appreciate this.
You know, we're still talking about the television show Cop Rock.
You know, and just a brief synopsis, again, if you just joined us, for God's sakes, what this is a weird show done by a guy who's got a great track record on shows, Stephen Bochco.
He did L.A. Law and he did Hill Street Blues. I mean, the guy's got a track record, but now
he
hangs himself out there with a drama about cops and courtrooms and such, but they sing too in the process.
Like, you know, they do any kind of crime situation, I guess, just like your basic cops are called 911 or whatever. They'll just get into it, and then suddenly everybody will break into song.
And see, again, our interests were piqued when we heard about this. So with our heavy connections, as we told you, we're pretty heavy cats in this company.
They sent us a video of the actual show that'll be airing next Wednesday night.
We pulled some strings, and we got a scene that we're going to just kind of share with you here right now.
The penitentiary, where the measure of a man is calculated by the severity of his crime. We take you to San Quentin, the federal maximum security lockup, where three criminals, complete strangers, incarcerated in one cell. This rare opportunity
we hear each offender
size up the other. Let's listen in.
Hello, Phyllis. How you doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm new in the cell.
Yeah, what you in here for, man?
Well, I come from the country. So maybe you read about me in the paper. I smuggle drugs.
Whoa, you smuggle drugs?
What are you in for,
man? That's pretty weird. It's okay. I smuggle drugs.
What about this other fella?
Absolutely uncanny. I'm a Century City attorney. I smuggle drugs.
You smuggle drugs?
Yes. I smuggle drugs.
I guess what we're saying is...
We smuggle drugs! It's a really weird man, Z, because I smuggle drugs!
You smuggle drugs?
I sure did!
That's an amazing
thing. And what did you say about yourself?
Uncanny, I smuggle drugs.
Man, you smuggle drugs.
Century City lawyer and everything.
Why, and you?
I smuggle drugs.
I smuggle drugs.
I smuggle drugs.
This is too weird, man. This is really weird.
What about now?
I smuggle drugs.
I smuggle drugs.
I smuggle drugs.
This is really weird, man. What'd you smuggle?
I smuggle coke.
Yeah, I smuggle pot. We smuggle coke, pot, I smuggle drugs.
I smuggle drugs.
I smuggle drugs.
Yeah, man. I smuggle drugs.
I smuggle drugs.
I smuggle drugs. We smuggle drugs.
We smuggle drugs.
We smuggle drugs.
Smuggle drugs. Smuggle drugs. Smuggle drugs. Smuggle drugs. Smuggle drugs. We smuggle drugs. We smuggle drugs.
So, Driftglass.
It's beautiful. I got a tear in my eye. Yeah.
You know, it's I found that we're getting ready to move. You know, we're leaving Florida, and so I'm going through old boxes and shit. And I used to produce the Mark and Brian show in Los Angeles. That was major market number one morning show in LA stuff right there. Mm-hmm. And I remembered that bit from 30 years ago. Because I wrote that one. There were others. There were other scenes that I don't think were as funny. But that one, I remembered all the... And then I found the tape. And I'm listening. And every time I hear it, it just cracks me up.
Well, it's wonderful. That's And, you know, it does remind us all that if you look back on the history of weird television in that period, there was a lot of cocaine going on in Hollywood, in New York, in L.A., just a lot of it. A lot of directors sort of hit this weird patch where they were making strange movies, not making movies at all. And you realize, oh, yeah, a lot of drugs going on, just an awful lot. And I'm not judging. I'm just saying it affects your creative capacity and you start getting obsessed with weird shit. And then you end up with cop rocks.
That's right. And the fact is, the fact that they put that on network television,
yeah,
that it begged for parodies like that.
Oh, so, God, yeah.
That was the serious kind of work.
Yeah. Nobody knew what anybody wanted. So there, people were just throwing stuff up going, well, maybe, I don't know, this guy's really smart. It's Stephen Bochco, for God's sake.
Right. Oh, if he wants gotta to do be great.
A musical, comedy, drama, rock show, you know, let's let him give him a shot. Give him a few.
Sure.
And you know what? Good for them. Taking a risk, letting somebody take a big swing, that's great.
And then who would have ever thought that in 2022, the hottest television show would be the 1-6 hearings, January 6th committee hearings.
It's got everything.
Everything, except, you know, at first they were putting them on at prime time at night, and yep, that was good. The problem, the reason they stopped and just moved them back to the daytime is because when they aired it during the day, Fox would carry it. When they aired it at night, they did not. And so they figured it's better to get at least some of those eyeballs seeing it. At nighttime, they just ignored it like it wasn't happening.
Yeah. And they can do that.
Yeah, they can.
And it's hermetically sealed over there. And they can just make up. And that's why it does behoove us who do this for sort of a living and doing it for a long time to put on the hazmat suit and go wandering all over there and see what they're doing on crazy Twitter and on Fox News and on the radio, because that's the stuff that really is the engine of the Republican Party. That really is what the rocket fuel that makes all this possible. And all the other stuff at the surface about reasonable Republicans and thoughtful conservative, that's all bullshit.
Right.
Now we know it's all bullshit. So, you know, there we are.
Well, you know, there's so many different ways we could go here. But you're right. The crazy is just out there. Now, Twitter is, so many people have left already. I have not, although I do have a Mastodon account now, and I'm cross-posting. Yep. I'm also on Post, and I'm on Counter Social, but there's too much. I can't do it all. So I'm still doing Twitter, and I'm doing Mastodon, which makes the most sense to me. Mm-hmm. But Twitter, my Twitter timeline has now been invaded by maggots.
Oh, same here. It's just nonstop, you know, rapid-fire bullshit. I think it's like this. Let's shake up the red ants and black ants and make them fight.
Yeah,
I guess. Forcing them to interact, and then that'll get a lot of engagement, and the advertisers won't run away because look at all the people who are doing this. Yeah, well, it's a train wreck. People will slow down for a train wreck.
It's crazy. I mean, I've cultivated my list of the people I follow on Twitter so that I don't see that stuff. Yeah. And now I'm getting like tweets from Marge Q Green and Boebert, and I guess they're fighting. And the rest of these nut jobs. It's like, so Ronnie Jackson showed up on my timeline the other day. I'm like, why? You know, and he said, he wrote, it was a brilliant tweet, something to the effect of, what does Kamala even do?
Yeah.
And I had to respond. I just wrote, fuck off. And I get the message. A lot of people on Twitter don't really like this kind of response. Are you sure this is what you want to say? Yes.
Oh, 100% sure.
Yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Fuck off. Oh, my God. Don't give me this shit. I didn't sign up for this.
No. Well, apparently you did. You didn't, you didn't read the fine. You didn't read what would happen if it was sold to an eccentric, crazy, right-wing billionaire.
Now, tell us about Elmo. I've noticed Driftglass on your blog at driftglass.blogspot.com. You got a few posts about Elmo.
I do. Elmo's fascinating because he is Anthony from It's a Good Life, from Twilight. He's wishing people into the cornfield. He's every tech nerd I have known in my life who has no.
You're a bad man. You're a very bad man.
Always keep Anthony handy. Sorry, I
absolutely. And that's the guy. And he's a child, and he is a right-wing a-hole, and he now has, and he thinks it's easy. He's got that super, super arrogance of, I know how to run everything. Now, you know how to run one thing. Your expertise is not extensible. It does not go other places. And a lot of the tech guys I worked with over the years have the same problem, which is they really do think that because they can move ones and zeros around, they know everything, and they have no social skills.
None.
A person with no social skills buying a social media platform and thinking, is this not, you know, if Ernst was a stupid human, this would be a great place to be. Yeah, but the whole point is people, and he doesn't. And so he throws tantrums and he changes the rules and he has polls, and it's a disaster. And advertisers are fleeing, and I know people who whose livelihood depends on being here.
Yeah.
Who are like, I don't know what I'm going to do because I'm losing because I'm on the tail of this comet that I have no control over. I'm losing traffic, revenue, credibility, you know, on and on. I've been banned or shadow banned. Now, as you know, I spent 10 months banned for life from Twitter. So.
10 months banned for life. And then you were allowed back. And then this happens.
Yeah. So I'm like, you got to understand, man, it's a sewer. It just got worse. That's all. It got much, much worse. But it's an open sewer because every social media, there's a wonderful article on Tech Dirt. I don't remember who wrote it, about a guy who said speed walking Elon Musk through how to do moderation. and it's like, this is why it always ends up in the same place, because, you know, you're free speech advocate and suddenly, oh, they're Nazis. Oh, well, we can't have that. Oh, there's child pornography. Oh, we can't have that. Well, they're protesting Nazis. Oh, we can't have that. Well, there's a European Union law that says, oh, suddenly you're just like, dude, I'm just trying to do the best I can, you know? And he refused to understand that. He overpaid by whatever, 60% for the damn thing.
You think? And easily.
His advertising revenue doesn't even cover the interest on the loans that he took out.
Wow.
And he did it on a whim, because there's nobody around him to tell him, no, this is a terrible idea and you shouldn't do it. So,
oh my God. Well, and it's interesting to see how he's running things or not. So he makes these decisions. You know, first he does, well, you're going to pay for the blue check. And then he does it, and, you know, with no protections, knowing that the blue check was just saying these accounts are verified. First of all, I have a blue check. I didn't pay for it. I would not pay for it. They verified that I am actually Nicole Sandler, and that says it's me, and that's all it is. Right. So now he's saying, well, you can pay for one. So people started signing up for it and claiming to be whoever, the Pope, Bono, Spring, whatever. And he's like, oh, this is not good. And then he suspends it, and then it's back in. Then the other day, he kicks all these journalists off. Right. So not only suspends them, but permanently bans them. Mm-hmm. Except a day later, they're back.
Right. Some of them, yeah.
Yeah, except for Keith Olbermann, who now, Keith Olbermann, you know, he's very into dog rescue and stuff. So he has a backup, like a dog rescue Twitter account that he's tweeting from. And Elon Musk posts something laughing at Keith Olbermann for tweeting from his dog's account. Talk about clueless. What an ass. Then he's like, okay, well, you're not allowed to promote other, you know, social networks on Twitter. You'll get banned. And that lasted a day. So is this how he runs SpaceX? Is this how he runs Tesla?
Those are engineering projects. And so it is, you know, it's coding and it's metal and it's engineering. It's architecture. It's stuff. It's not people.
It's math.
It doesn't involve human beings and human behavior. It's, you know, it's getting ones and zeros and alloys correct. And great, you hire a bunch of engineers and you tell them sort of what you want, and you know steal the company from the guys who created it, and then you just sit back and let them do their thing and you stand out in front. This is this delusion of expertise on social matters. I mean, he had that Spaces conversation.
Yes. Oh, so there's a thing on. Yeah. I never went into Spaces. It's, no. You know, radio. You got radio. What do you need?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so, but it's an audio thing where you can have like a group audio chat. Okay. And so people who were banned, journalists, were in this group. And so he crashes the party, says what he wants to say, and then he pulls the plug on the whole thing.
Yeah, literally. And people were just asking questions like, but if you said this and did that, isn't that hypocrisy? And he kept insisting that certain things were like obvious and clear, which manifestly were not obvious and clear. Maybe in his brain they were. And he didn't just stomp out. He wiped that session from the servers.
Oh my God.
He, you know, this never happens. This never happened. And it really is. It's a child. He's a child. And a child who's good at one thing should stick to that one thing.
Kidding.
But he thinks he knows how to re-engineer human behavior. And we know how that ends usually with, you know,
well,
a lot of dead people.
Yeah. And apparently plummeting Tesla stock, because I hear it just tanked again today.
Yep.
Yep. So,
and who buys Teslas?
Liberals.
Do trailer trash buy a lot of Teslas? Because that's who you're shooting this thing at, those people,
right?
And you're pissing off the only people who buy Tesla,
right? Is he going to lower the price so that, you know, the poorly educated can afford them?
I think the board would step in and say, dude, this is not a giveaway to Piggly Wiggly.
Well, okay, when is the board going to step in? Because he's costing a lot of people a lot of money.
And that's the thing. That's the thing. That's what got Tessio in the end. That's what got all the guys. You've screwed up the business. You know, we're all mobsters here, but you screwed up the money. And that's why you have to go.
Yep.
So,
yep. Yeah. Well, Spocko is in the chat room, and he just wrote, the thing I'm working on is what to do to stop him. Okay.
Oh,
if anyone could stop him, I guess it's Spocko. So
I've tried for 17 years to stop David Brooks. Yeah. I failed. So no. That's an awfully big target. Elmo Musk is an awfully big target for stopping him.
Yeah. So instead you go after Adam Kinzinger.
Oh yeah. Well, Adam Kinzinger, you know, he's from my state.
Yes, he is.
There's a whole thing about he's a third way, both siderist D-bag.
Right.
You know, you read into his comments and he's in these 30-second heroic clips about him, you know, taking his party to the task is what you saw on television. What you didn't see are the rest of his comments saying, and Democrats are responsible for this too.
Yep. But can I just say something, though? What he called the Democrats out for, I didn't see the whole thing, but I did see a section where he called them out for throwing a ton of money into backing candidates who were the worst maggots alive, like the Mastriano in wherever. Right. And, you know, and they did that. And you know what? I know it worked, but that doesn't make it okay. If those people had gotten in and the Democrats gave them money that people contributed to the Democratic Party to get Democratic rule, that would have been really, really fucked up. They are so lucky that it worked out the way they wanted it to, but I think that was luck and not because it was a brilliant idea. Am I wrong?
So I have a question. Of course you're wrong, but I'm not going to say that here.
Well, you can.
But of all the hundreds and hundreds of races across the country, how many races do Democrats spend money in?
Not a majority.
13. 13.
Okay.
And of those, which of those actual wing nuts won their primary? Six people out of hundreds.
Okay.
And of those six, all of them lost. All of them. By hefty margins in swing districts.
Gotcha.
So I understand Adam Kinzinger doesn't want us to do that. But here's what he's really pissed about. And he's white hot pissed about it. He's pissed that he was redistricted out of a safe district.
Yes.
And here's the thing. Redistricting doesn't mean you're zapped out of existence. It means you're nudged into an adjacent district.
Well, unless you're Sean Patrick Maloney and you decide to go into a different district that you think you'll be able to easily win, but it's not your district and the people there are really pissed, so they vote against you and elect the Republican.
Well, and here's why Adam Kinzinger let me down, because, you know, I love the guy. We're like brothers, you know.
Sure you are.
But he got nudged into a district with a guy named Darren LaHood.
Oh, okay.
Darren LaHood is a right-wing D-bag. Darren LaHood thought impeaching Trump was a terrible idea. The Democrats were off of this. He voted all the horrible things. He is the embodiment of everything Adam Kinzinger says is wrong with his party. And Adam Kinzinger had a ton of money, a big media platform, bigger than Darren LaHood by a whole bunch. He could have run against Darren LaHood. He could have walked his values. He could have taken the flaming sword of Ronald Reagan and driven Darren LaHood out of the party. But he didn't. Instead, he whined about Democrats and how unfair it all is. And he filed his resume to be on CNN for the rest of his life. And here's the problem. He would have lost to Darren LaHood because that's a R plus 15 district.
Right.
And they love what Adam Kinzinger doesn't want to talk about is his party loves crazy people. And the ads, all these 13 Democrats ran in these primaries were, so-and-so is too conservative for our state. Here's so-and-so's record. He's a gun nut. He hates abortion. He's too conservative for our state. That's the only thing Democrats did in their ads. They didn't lie. They didn't cheat.
Yeah.
And But they did it knowing that Republican voters will always choose the craziest one. And that's something that Adam Kinzinger doesn't want to hear. LaHood is also the son of a powerful Illinois Republican family.
Oh, yes.
So he doesn't want to piss off his future godfathers. He could have done the thing he says everyone else should do. He cleaned up his own district. He had a perfect opportunity to run against, like Liz Cheney did, to run against a whack job in your own backyard, and you didn't do it. Instead,
right.
You walked away and complained about Democrats on the way out. So that's my beef with Adam Kinzinger.
I hear you. Hey, Driftglass, we have a real-time drama playing out.
Really?
Right.
Okay.
Now, as we speak, in Washington, D.C., there is a meeting going on. It's at the House Ways and Means Committee. And do you know what they are debating?
Ways and Means, I'm guessing.
Well, the Ways and Means of Donald Trump's tax returns, because Ways and Means is the committee that finally won at the 11:30th hour to get 5 years of his tax returns. And the Supreme Court finally said, you got to give them to them. Give them. So they now have them. So right now they are having a meeting, the House Ways and Means Committee. The thing is, it's a huge committee. There are 42 members on it.
Yep.
And
yep.
When they got to the point where, okay, we're gonna have the debate and the vote, they cleared the public out. They cleared the press out. So it's a closed door meeting that's been going on for hours. Hours.
Oh,
and now, according to, I've just pulled up the New York Times to see if there's an update. Here's the latest from 7 minutes ago. A few dozen reporters are crowded around the committee room doors while they wait for the closed session to end, passing time on Twitter, sipping coffee, and snacking on peanut butter pretzels. Oh, my God. And this could go literally go on for hours.
Yeah.
When they decide what to do. Now, the chair of the committee is Richie Neal, who's not exactly Mr. Progressive. And he had to be, like, cajoled into trying to get these tax returns in the first place. So this meeting started at 3 o'clock. I have a feeling it will not end by the time we're done. But we should make bets. Will they release those tax returns to the public?
Man, the only thing I remember vividly about the Ways and Means Committee is that Dan Rostenkowski was the chairman for a while.
Wow.
From Illinois, big clout guy.
Long
big
time
Illinois
ago,
clout guy.
Right?
And got messed up with the post office scandal, you know, cashing out stamps for money, which everybody was doing, and out he went. I'm guessing they're going to do a provisional release. They'll find some way to split the baby, because they're about to be replaced by a bunch of vengeful, hate-mongering lunatics.
Yep.
If I were them, I'd release everything. I'd pull the lever and say, screw it. Let the public see everything.
Yep.
Let them go through it with a fine-tooth comb. That's why I'm not in Congress.
Right, of course.
I'd be like, no, dude, you've got 2 weeks left. Pull the lever, drop the bomb now, and you're going to be out of here anyway. So
that's right.
They're going to run Hunter Biden hearings until the cows come home. Nothing you can do to stop that. So, and plus, it's justice. It's actually the right thing to do. It's good politics, and it's the right thing to do.
Without
so
a doubt. So I bet they don't release them.
I bet they don't release them. Yeah. Or some executive summary with a couple of details they can wave around and say. But it'll be in the record somewhere, and it'll be available to prosecutors somewhere. And that's a good thing.
Yeah, but it should go out to the public. Like,
damn right.
Allegedly,
damn right.
Tomorrow, we get to see the full report from the 1-6 committee, and then they are going to release every single transcript of every interview and deposition they took.
Wow. I assume there's a couple of anonymous witnesses or redacted witnesses.
Yeah.
I assume those will remain that way.
I'm sure. Right.
Yeah.
But we'll see what we get. There's going to be a wealth of information, though, coming out. And then we see what our brilliant media does with it. You know, just watching how CNN has comported themselves in the last couple of months, I don't have very high expectations.
No. You mean with Chris Licht running the place now?
With Chris Licht running the place right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Not happy. Well, you know.
I don't watch anymore. Frankly, no. I don't watch anymore. David, my husband. Driftglass, have you met David?
Yes.
Yeah,
we've spoken
about
that. How are you doing, Driftglass?
Mm-hmm. Okay. You, David, what did you want to say?
I will tell you why they will not
release the tax returns.
Okay.
Because they're a bunch of selfish fucking pricks, and all they give a shit about is themselves. And they're afraid if they release his tax returns that at some point some vengeful congressperson who happens to head up the Ways and Means Committee may have a hard-on for one of them,
yep,
and they'll get their tax returns released.
Yeah.
Also, too, you guys are both wrong about the best old TV show.
We didn't say it was the best. I didn't say the best.
Okay, well, then you left out the best old.
Which was?
George of the Jungle.
Oh, George yes. of the Jungle.
If you
watch out for that tree.
If you imbibe the proper amount of controlled substances
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
and watch George of the Jungle, you will see what I'm talking.
You'll watch
about.
Out for that tree.
You will well, watch why, out for all trees.
Why no respect for Super Chicken? Where's the
chicken.
Love for Super Chicken?
I don't even know Super Chicken. Do you know Super
sure
Chicken?
Do.
Chicken and Fred.
Super Chicken and Fred, he said.
Damn right.
Damn right.
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like he will take a licking. There is someone waiting
ticking.
Who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken. It's wonderful. It's
that's before my time.
Age. Yeah. That's a Hulu story.
I remember Underdog. Sorry, not Underdog. Underdog. Yeah. There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
and us, actually, the best of that entire age of comics was Bullwinkle and Rocky.
Oh, well, of course. And Natasha and Badenoff. Natasha Badenoff and Boris. Boris Badenoff.
They were the best. That was the standard. And that was the surreal comics of my youth.
Yeah, David.
Driftgrass, are you aware of Beanie and Cecil? Because Nicole is not.
Oh yes. I'm very familiar with Beanie the C6 Sea Serpent and his cartoons. Oh, yeah. No, I know all these
now,
things.
Now, was Beanie the Sea Serpent related to H.R. Puffin stuff?
Beanie and Cecil.
Oh, sorry. Beanie and Cecil.
Cecil was the sea serpent. Beanie was his little friend.
I see.
And they were related in the sense that I have fond memories of all of them. They're my cartoon family.
Do you remember... I think it was Winky Dink. Was it Winky Dink that used to draw on the TV screen with the removable film?
I think so.
Yeah.
I might be confusing that with Romper Room.
No, Romper Room was different. Romper Room came before.
Yeah.
Along with Captain Kangaroo.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you know, Winky Dink and me, Winky Dink, you used to spend a lot of time together. I think my parents just parked me in front of the television.
I think mine did too. Yeah. And we had, you probably had this too, regional television.
Oh, of course.
We had, you know, we had Garfield Goose and Friends. We had Family Classics and we had Bozo at a Bozo show.
Sure.
And every Christmas time, we had Hard Rock Coco and Joe and Susie the Snowflake. And I'm going to go put those up on my blog now because you've reminded me
that
back in my youth, these crappy animated videos were golden to me.
The golden age of
BJ and Dirty Dragon also, which is important.
And Spocko, Tennessee Tuxedo and Chumley.
I remember them.
We have a caller. I have no idea who this is. Someone from the 702 area code. Hi, who's this? Hello?
Marcus from Las Vegas.
Oh, Marcus from Las Vegas.
I just got off work and tuned in, and I see there's so much to say, but you guys are talking about something that's dear to my heart. That's these old shows. You know, I crack up and get shot till I'm crying thinking about old episodes of Bugs Bunny and the Three Stooges. But I'll tell you, Spider-Man had the coolest music, you know, as he was, you know, swinging through the city, just chilling. The background music was... excellent.
What was the best background music of all the shows you can think of? My top number one is Barney Miller, but what's your best?
Like
I said,
Marcus.
There are so many. I think of theme songs, The Rookies and Beretta. But I'm telling you, for cartoons, Spider-Man would just be chilling through the city, swinging. And it has this jazz playing in the background that was the best.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spider-Man. I was not a Spider-Man. I never got into the Spider-Man.
A man of exceptional taste you have there, Nicole. You've got great callers.
All right. Yeah. Marcus, thank you for calling. See, I figured when I saw the phone ringing, I thought, you know what? I know this call is about old TV shows because we are jogging the memory cells of us old folks and all the stuff that's shaking loose is like, oh, yeah, I remember that. Rockford Files. You know, Rockford Files were fucking awesome.
Oh yeah, I have the whole DVD collection.
The cartoon, the writing was genius, even in the cartoon. Man, I'm telling you, some of those Bugs Bunny cartoons would bring me to tears just thinking about it right now.
All right.
And I watched them 100 times. All right.
There you go. Thanks, Marcus. Bye. David is back. Yes? Yes?
You mentioned the Rockford Files. Did you know that what the guy, Angel?
Yeah.
The guy who played Angel just croaked.
Oh, that's
sad. A couple of days ago. But anyway, Drift Glass, you were talking about regional TV. We had a show down here that I can't remember the name of the show, but it was based around horror movies. And the host of the show was a guy whose name was M.T. Graves. And that was where the first
M.T.
Graves. And every time you have Lisa Graves on now,
you think of M.T. Graves.
It jogs my memory about M.T. Graves because that was the first place I ever saw The Mummy. And I thought The Mummy lived in my closet when I was little. And also Dracula, The Wolfman, all of that stuff that was on M.T. Graves' show.
Oh, that's funny.
So we had Sven Gulli. And we still do. We have a third generation which does riffing on old horror movies. And we had Creature Features, which is pretty much the same thing. Right. It was the Warner Brothers classic monsters, scared the hell out of me. And they were reliable Saturday night viewing for me when my parents were away. Scared the crap out of me, but it stuck with me all these years.
Cool.
That's wonderful. That's just wonderful. Now, the shortest theme song has one lyric. That's it. One word. That's it. From that period. Batman.
Da 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 Batman.
That's it. That's the whole song. It's easy to learn. You can sing it in church.
And then there was always the pow, boom, wham that they put out on the screen because there weren't lyrics in the song, but the graphics spelled them out. Yeah, see, I remember that. The Munsters.
Every celebrity wanted to be on that show. Yeah.
The Addams Family. Did you watch Wednesday on Netflix?
Yes. No, I didn't watch Wednesday, but I did watch the Addams Family, the original Addams.
Because Wednesday actually wasn't bad. As far as these kind of things go, it's Tim Burton and just funny and offbeat enough. And Thing is there and Uncle Fester. The only thing they really got wrong, was the casting of Gomez Adams. Just horrible.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Hard to get John Astin replaced.
Oh, and they used the worst guy. What's his name? You would know him. He's just the wrong. John Astin. Gomez Adams was sophisticated and good looking and smart. They had David. What's the guy's name? Louis. Now I can't remember. But it's just the wrong person. So anyway, they screwed that up. I think we have someone else on the line. Spocko, are you there?
When Polly's in trouble, I must not be slow. It's hip, 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 and away we go. I also... Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat. Rocky smokes, Bullwinkle. This is crazy.
That was good.
That's really good.
I want to be on Drift Glass's podcast. I think between his knowledge of these shows and my voices, we could fill a whole hour with it.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Hell
so yeah. It was Luis Guzman who they cast as Gomez Adams?
No.
No. Just wrong. And Morticia was Catherine Zeta-Jones. So just did not work. I didn't see that at all. Oh. Raul Julia was in the movie.
That we were talking is the spy series. I mean, we've got Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course,
Man from U.N.C.L.E.
And then the Get Smart ones. Those were great for us
as
kids.
Was great. Yep.
And don't get me started on Thunderbirds, because I'll just go all day on Thunderbirds Are Go.
I don't even know what that is.
Dudley Do-Right in metal.
Okay, I do remember Dudley Do-Right, and the girl was on the railroad tracks, and he would come and save her before the train came to run her over.
No, Thunderbirds was puppets.
I know.
Animated puppets. Please. Again, we all must leave now and go watch Thunderbirds.
Super marionettes.
Well, we know what we're all doing tonight.
Yes, we do.
Because. You know, we totally took a left turn, but it wasn't left and it wasn't right. It was a weird turn because I had all these other subjects we were going to talk about, but this is more fun.
Yeah.
this is more fun.
Why don't I have fun every now and then? Huh? Is there a law?
No, but there should be. that you have to have fun.
Tis the season.
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Who used to watch the Benny Hill show? Never got that. Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Love
yes.
That.
But Benny Hill, I didn't get. Yeah, Dave Don Allen's, Adams. Yeah. I'm reading the chat room now. Okay, I guess this means we should start wrapping up because I'm but Driftglass, this is so much fun. We should have like an old-time TV watch show or something, but we'd run into copyright problems if we tried to do it on the
air. I'll just do all the voices from all the old TV shows. That way we can get them all in.
Yeah.
No brag, just fact.
Okay, Spocko. Hey, who knew? Look, we uncover hidden talents on the show.
You're a job creator, Nicole, I tell you.
That's what I've heard. Unfortunately, I don't create them for myself, just for other people. But anyway, Driftglass, find him at driftglass.blogspot.com. And of course, on the Professional Left podcast with Blue Gal Fran. Every Thursday, a new episode drops. And then there's the don't remember what you said or what was it called?
No fair remembering stuff. And we have a little podcast called Science Fiction University, which is where we review science fiction movies and books and compare plots and stuff. That's not a regular thing, but we try to keep up. We're just doing way too much and it's catching up with us. But,
yeah, tell me about it. I know how that is. It's like, I can do that and I could do that and I could do that and I could do that. Sleep? What?
Yes, sleep.
What's that?
No, I'll sleep when I'm dead.
That sounds like a really good title for a song that Warren Zevon maybe should have written when he was alive.
Maybe should have done that. Yeah. And then we're going to talk about werewolves after that. So
No, because that reminds me of Herschel Walker, and I don't want to think of Herschel Walker ever again.
Fun, happy place.
Okay, well, let's hear. Hey, let me tell you what's going on tomorrow on the show. Hey, Driftglass, do you know about the Marsh family?
I have a family member's named Marsh.
No.
That's all I...
Okay, so the Marsh family, during the pandemic, you know, I would play silly, you know, people would make these fun parody songs, you know, from their home. It's like a homegrown humor kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I found this family from the UK. They live in Kent, in Faversham, I believe is the name of the town. And there's two daughters, two sons, and a mom and dad. And they do these song parodies. But the thing is, they are really talented. And I fell in love with them. The first one I saw was a takeoff of a song from Les Mis, which was actually their first viral video. And they do harmonies and they play instruments and they're just so creative. Well, here we are now, like 2.5 years later, we made it through the pandemic, kind of, sort of. And they're still doing these songs. Huh. And they just put out a new, like an original song to benefit Save the Children. And and they're great. So I've interviewed them twice before, but they're going to be here tomorrow. Actually, taped the interview earlier today. And they're so good. And I thought maybe we'll go out with one of their songs because they're so good. So that's the way I'm promoting tomorrow's show. So the Marsh family. And if you have not checked them out, this is your assignment, Driftglass. Go on YouTube and find the Marsh family and listen to some of their songs because they are brilliant.
I will do so.
If you were impressed by either the Partridge family or the Von Trapp family singers, you'll love them. I actually today asked them about the Partridge family and they weren't familiar. They did know about the Von Trapps, but they had heard of the Partridge family, but they didn't understand the concept.
We'll throw the monkeys at them next time. See what happens there.
Hey. Mm-hmm. People say we monkey around. You know. All right, Driftglass, I will let you go. I thank you so much for jumping on with us today. It was nice to wrap up the year. I thought we'd do sort of a year in review.
Yeah.
Instead, we're going back 50 years to talk about old TV.
We did a year in review, and the year was 1969.
There you go.
That's great.
Hey, peace, love, and flower power.
All right. Well, I'll talk to y'all later.
Okay. Bye, Driftglass. Thank you. Driftglass.blogspot.com. And the Professional Left Podcast, proleftpod.com, I believe, is where you get that. Spocko, you still here? Spocko?
Yeah, I am.
Oh, you are. All right. Well, I was going to say goodbye to you. Now I got a weird screen thing going on. It feels like a Friday, but it's not Friday yet. It's only Tuesday, my God. So here's the rest of the week. We have the Marsh family tomorrow. We have Howie Klein on Thursday. And then on Friday is Festivus. So it's the day when you can bring your grievances. We're going to open up the phones. Now, it'll only work if you guys participate. So I'll have some stuff standing by just in case. But yeah, we'll have a fun week. All right, Spocko, I'm going to let you go.
Bye.
Talk to you later. Bye. And then you guys, because it is the holidays, I thought we'll play some songs tomorrow. But here's one of the Marsh family Christmas songs. This one from, I think, 2 years ago when we were knee deep in the COVID. And they did a COVID Christmas song because you know how that works. All right. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll leave you with my friends, the Marsh family. Bye.
It's COVID time. There's real need to be afraid. Last Christmas time, we put up lights. Now it's barricades.
Because in 2020, we had said goodbye to joy. Show some calm around the world till Christmas time. Stuck here and there, boom time for Amazon. Let's just recap. It's hard. Here's what's been going on.
Climate change outside your window could be the world without reindeer. It's like the sleigh may not be going east. Been chilled in this whole year.
And the Christmas elves that were there probably laid off back in June.
The Marsh family, everyone, they are just adorable, and they will be here tomorrow. I promise you a fun, fun hour with the Marsh family. All right, I'll see you then. I'll leave you with the news. Oops, I pulled up the wrong one. Hold on 1 second, because I want to give you the full. Oh, you know what? I only did one today. I think. Whatever. We'll do this. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Nearly 2 years to the date after the violent attack on the U.S. Capitol, the House Select Committee investigating what happened holds its final public meeting today, with the release of its full report coming Wednesday.
What? Today's session. No. That was yesterday's. Oh, my God. I'm way off, aren't I? All right. Here is today's What's News. Maybe. Come on. Come on, man. Why? Oh, shoot. All right. Well, my whole thing just crashed. Oh, here
it's
we go.
Time for Nicole Sandler. What's News from NicoleSandler.com.
Vacation next week.
Progressive
yeah.
Voices Network.
Well, that's one for the history books. The House Select Committee investigating the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol held its final public meeting on Monday, during which they voted unanimously to refer 4 criminal charges against the former president to the Department of Justice. The 100-page-plus executive summary is available for all to read, with the final report being released Wednesday. And yes, there's also an omnibus spending package deal. More on that in a moment. But first, the members of the committee summarized the evidence they presented during the last 18 months over 10 public hearings. The case that Donald Trump's direct involvement in efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election made him responsible for the violence that unfolded at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021. They further found him unfit to hold future office. After recapping the evidence, it was left to constitutional law professor Congressman Jamie Raskin to lay out the 4 criminal charges on which the committee referred him. But ultimately, it's Attorney General Merrick Garland who'll make the final call on any charging decisions. This is, though, the first time that Congress has referred a former U.S. president for criminal prosecution. The panel also named 5 Trump allies, former Trump Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, and 4 of his lawyers, including Rudy Giuliani, as potential co-conspirators. And they referred House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy and members Andy Biggs, Scott Perry, and Jim Jordan to the House Ethics Committee for their refusal to comply with a congressional subpoena. Trump issued a statement in response. These folks don't get when they come after me. People who love freedom rally around me. It strengthens me. What doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Thought that was a song. Anyway, Mitch McConnell, Senate Minority Leader, refused to praise or criticize the committee throughout the process, saying only that he was watching its work closely. Well, after the committee released its criminal referrals on Monday, McConnell said, quote, "The entire nation knows who's responsible for that day. Beyond that, I don't have any immediate observations." All right. Well, it was obviously a shot at Trump, but McConnell once again refusing to say his name. Cowardly. Now, onto the budgetary matters at hand. An announcement of a deal and the text of the 4,155-page omnibus spending package was released at around 1:40 a.m. Eastern Time. That was delayed from its expected release Monday afternoon due to a fight over the future location of new FBI headquarters. Really? Apparently, both Maryland and Virginia want it. The negotiators decided on Virginia, though that's not necessarily a done deal. Anyway, the House and Senate are rushing to pass this bill before the midnight Friday deadline. So what's in and what's out? Well, in is defense spending totaling $858 billion, a lot more than they asked for. Non-defense spending comes in at $800 billion. The legislation does not include any tax provisions, including so-called tax extenders or the expanded child tax credit. An attempt to provide legal status for Dreamers, coupled with border security, did not make the cut. Though, emergency military and economic assistance for Ukraine, totaling $44.9 billion, is included. Although some offices are putting out different numbers, so your end result may vary. $2 million to provide off-campus security for members, a decision motivated in part by the recent attack on Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband at their San Francisco home. Missing from the final bill? Any cannabis provisions. Not only will Congress fail to legalize marijuana this year, lawmakers could not even agree to approve a modest bill allowing cannabis businesses to access banking. Thanks, Mitch McConnell and Republicans. But reportedly, revisions to the Electoral Count Act, that 1887 law that Trump and his allies tried to use as part of their attempt to overturn the 2020 elections, are included in the final bill.
But wait, there's still more. The House Ways and Means Committee is meeting today to discuss what to do with those 6 years of Donald Trump's federal tax returns that they obtained over the objections of the former guy. So you know how Title 42 was supposed to end tomorrow, Wednesday? Well, Chief Justice John Roberts on Monday put a temporary hold on ending that Trump-era immigration policy. Roberts had asked the Biden administration to respond by this evening to an emergency appeal filed by a few Republican-led states seeking to keep the policy in place. The White House is seeking more than $3 billion from Congress to handle a possible wave of asylum seekers. And finally, gas prices are coming down, but you may not want to leave your house this week. More than 25 million people across much of the central and northwestern U.S. are under wind chill alerts. Heavy snow is expected today in several states, including Montana, North Dakota, South Dakota, and most of Minnesota, where the high temperatures will still be below zero. Yeah. This week, more than 80% of the lower 48 states will experience temperatures below freezing. Forecasters are also predicting some in the Midwest could experience their coldest Christmas day in nearly 40 years. Stay warm out there. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.